Okay. As we keep telling you lying liberal media, Russia played no role in Donald J. Trump's largest election victory ever. No, it wasn't. It was still a very large victory. We won fair and square with no help from Russia. We won without any help from the Russian government. They've admitted and we've admitted, okay. Nobody on the Donald J. Trump team has ever encouraged Russian hacking into, okay, that, yeah, me on TV. And that one. Listen, nobody on the Donald J. Trump team has ever met with anyone from Russia. Emails. Admitted. Lots of them. Okay. Nobody, as we keep saying, nobody important to the Donald J. Trump campaign has... The campaign manager. Who's that? Manafort? Okay, listen to me. As we keep saying, anybody on the Donald J. Trump team who met with people from the Russian government to talk about the election, it was completely innocent, and we disclosed every single contact. We didn't disclose any of the contacts. Once we knew you had them, okay. Then we disclosed everything. Emails, okay. We have been completely upfront about everything that's happened. We changed the story a few times. Well, people forget. Listen, nobody in my family, in the Donald J. Trump family, has ever met with son-in-law. Stop. Yeah, well, nobody named Donald J. Trump has ever met with anyone from... No, not Junior. We're not talking Junior. Not Junior. Yeah, nobody named Donald J. Trump Senior, the president, has ever met, as far as you know, with anyone from Russia. Okay, before the election, yeah. Okay, yeah. Listen, we didn't even get anything good. You just can't trust the damn Ruskies. Yeah, old news. Russia is old news. Can we move on, please? Why aren't we investigating Hillary Clinton? Huh? Why not investigate Hillary Clinton? Yeah, okay. Yeah. She's not the president. Where's Fox and Friends? Get me Fox and Friends. Where's my ice cream?
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. As always, thank you for joining us. On today's show, we will take a look at the news, and there seems to be a bunch to talk about with the news. If we have some time at the end, we will be talking a little bit about what Trump has accomplished so far as President of the United States. But first, let's get right into the news. Is there anything happening with Russia? We haven't been talking about Russia, the Russia investigation, for a little while. Yeah, there seems to be something about an email and a meeting, I think. I guess there was a... You might have heard something about this, so we'll just start with this. An email sent to Donald J. Trump Jr. from an intermediary with the subject line, Russia, Clinton, private and confidential. Seems perfectly innocent. No reason to think there's anything nefarious going on there. Well, if you read down in the email, it turns out there are a couple of lines that might seem a little bit more problematic. The email sent to Donald J. Trump Jr., this is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. Is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. This was sent after Donald Trump became the presidential candidate and before the general election. Recall that everybody involved has been saying that Russia made no attempt to sway the election in favor of Donald Trump. They didn't have it in for Hillary Clinton. Oops. Also in the email, I don't want to read the actual words of the email here for you because it's kind of important. I can also send this info to your father via Rona, but it is ultra sensitive, so I wanted to send to you first. Obviously some real channels there to the Republican candidate and future president of the United States. The response from Donald J. Trump Jr., of course, was a horrified, you have information that Russia is trying to sway this election with private, confidential information? Stuff that was obtained illegally through hacking or some other form of espionage? I am reporting this to the FBI right away. Okay, you probably know I'm just kidding. That's not what they did, surprisingly. What he said was, and if it's what you say, I love it. Especially later in the summer. Could we do a call first thing next week when I am back from being away? Seems a little enthusiastic. Presumably, if it's what you say, I love it. Especially later in the summer. I think he went off and jacked off after that, probably thinking of his sister. Now, you might be thinking, well, if you were involved in a presidential contest and someone offered to give you information, even if you were legally obligated to turn it over to the FBI and intelligence agencies, come on, who would turn that down? I hear this a lot when I talk about the Martha Stewart case, where she was not convicted of insider trading, but she was convicted of lying about insider trading, that she apparently was provided with information that allowed her to dump her stock, or would have allowed her to dump her stock if she had acted on that information and it wasn't just a magical coincidence. She dumped thousands of shares of stock right before the stock tanked. And I frequently get people saying, well, if you were told that you own stock and something bad was going to be reported about that company, wouldn't you unload the stock? And my response is, well, I'm not a criminal and I'm not a scumbag. So, no, I think I wouldn't unload the stock. Well, if I were given sensitive information about my opponent in a presidential election that showed a foreign power meddling in a U.S. election and engaging in espionage? Well, this isn't just pie in the sky, of course. Some of you have already heard that a similar situation happened to Al Gore when he was running against George W. Bush in 2000. Turns out his team was provided unsolicited with a packet of information, apparently negative information about George W. Bush. And how did his team respond? Well, presumably if they had used that information, maybe George Bush wouldn't have been able to be close enough to steal the election. What Al Gore's team did was turn it over to the FBI. It looked shady, looked like illegal behavior, so they actually turned it over to legal authorities. Remember that when next time you hear about, you hear someone giving you a false equivalence. Oh, they all do it. Oh, it's both sides. They don't all do it. It's not both sides. So, what did Donald J. Trump Jr. do instead when he got this email? He called up Trump's campaign chair and his brother-in-law, the princeling, Jared Kushner, future de facto president of the United States, at least on odd number days, and said, hey, cool, we got a meeting we have to attend. And the three of them attended a meeting with someone associated with the Russian government with the idea that they were going to be getting dirt from Russia regarding Hillary Clinton and the presidential campaign. Really class acts. Keep this in mind, of course, when you think about the fact that every one of those people, Kushner, Manafort, and DJ Jr., all had previously lied and said that they did not have any meetings with Russian officials, with anyone from Russia, about the election. They didn't meet with any foreign agents or foreign principals prior to the election. Now, I know they dismissed the contacts that have come out that showed them to have, if not lied, made false statements. And they said, well, sure, like Jeff Sessions, I was at a cocktail party and I may have had the brief conversation with the Russian ambassador. And you could say, okay, that's kind of plausible. Maybe you could forget about something like that, a casual contact that you had. Probably a bit of a stretch, especially if you know what election law is all about. But now you've got a meeting with someone who gets the meeting by saying, I've got dirt on Hillary Clinton. You invite, you think it's important enough. One of the ways that the Trump administration is trying to downplay this is saying, oh, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't realize this was so important. Well, he realized it was important enough to call up the campaign chair and his brother-in-law and say, we all need to do this meeting. They got an interpreter there so that they could communicate effectively with this Russian national. And we're now supposed to believe that it slipped their minds. Every single one of them. It slipped their minds. They forgot they had this meeting. Just how gullible are you if you're going to believe something like that? So when told that a foreign rival was interfering in a U.S. election, the response was not, what's the term we could use? To put America first and say our values are what's important, our election is what's important, the integrity of our election. No, they said, cool, a hostile foreign power is going to help us become president? Excellent. Who's left supporting these jackasses? There was a column yesterday in the New York Times. I know, the liberal fake media New York Times. By Republican and conservative columnist Ross Duthat. It was interesting. He said, Donald Trump has betrayed everyone who's ever given him the benefit of the doubt. He said, including me. I gave him the benefit of the doubt on this story with what happened with Russia. I gave him the benefit of the doubt that there's no reason to believe that this went that high, that Donald J. Trump would have been involved in this at all. But now, I've been betrayed too. Made me walk the plank and cut off the plank behind me, just like he has everybody else who supported Donald Trump. All of the conservative columnists, other than perhaps on Fox News, Breitbart, have all turned away. Thank God so far, Donald J. Trump can still count on the support of almost every Republican member of Congress and the United States Senate. Joe Scarborough, longtime Republican, Republican speaker, had a TV show for a long time, former Republican congressman, said yesterday, "I can't consider myself a Republican anymore. I'll now call myself an independent." Think about this, again, when I think of false equivalents and conversations I've had recently with some of my conservative friends. One of which, of course, is to just throw them all in the... Oh, they all do it. They're all the same. They're all criminals. Well, that's blatant bullshit, and that's blatant self-serving garbage. Even if it were true that they were all criminals, couldn't some be worse criminals than other criminals? I know, I know. But Bill Clinton lied, too. Those Clintons are liars, too. Bill Clinton lied about his sex life. So what if everyone in the Trump administration and on the Trump campaign has been lying about their efforts to help a foreign power effectively steal a United States election? This is remarkable stuff. Now we're supposed to believe that nothing important came of it, as if that matters. They didn't have any important information. Well, that's okay. You saw our opening skit today. It's kind of like if they've lied to you six times and each time you keep proving the lie wrong, when they tell you the story the seventh time, you're kind of a schmuck if you believe it. So now, of course, they say, well, nothing important came of it. We didn't get any important information. We didn't do anything with it. Okay, you might believe that. And, of course, we're now cutting off the ties to the extent we can with Kushner. Oh, he was only briefly at that meeting. It was no big deal or anything. He probably doesn't even remember it. He left so quickly. And, of course, I never told my daddy about this. You know, I don't tell my daddy everything. Stay tuned for this one. We've got several shows planned in the future, and we don't know what's going to happen because it turns out this story seems to be unfolding a hell of a lot quicker than they've tended to unfold in the past. I had a conversation earlier about how Watergate unfolded over years. It's hard to imagine that this story is going to go in years. Obviously, the investigations are running slowly. We hope they're running. But enough information is leaking out that it keeps us entertained. It keeps us informed, and hopefully it keeps the pressure on. So let's talk about where the Russia investigation stands now. What do we know about Russia's interference in our election? Well, we know that Russia tampered with voting machines. Voting records, voter information was hacked by Russians in at least 21 states. We don't know at this point that they changed any of the votes, that in fact, Trump's election was completely fraudulent. But we do know that they hacked into the machine and the voter records and were changing voter records and learning about private information from voters. We know that the Russian government has hacked into various emails and email systems and sought to sway the election. Oh, back to the quaint old days of, what was it, a week ago? Maybe a week ago, where Vladimir Putin said, okay, yeah, sure, people in Russia may have had something to do with the U.S. election, but not the Russian government. Well, we know that the Russian government was involved. We know that WikiLeaks has put its thumb on the scale. WikiLeaks further covered itself in glory. The reports are coming out that when this story started and it was clear that the emails were going to come out, Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, had reached out to DJ Jr. and said, filter them through us. We could hide some of the worst stuff going through. WikiLeaks was something I supported a few years ago. I guess a little information really is a valuable thing. So what else do we know about the Russia investigation? We know that everyone involved in it has repeatedly lied. Repeatedly, over and over. Has lied about contacts, has lied about what they know, presumably lied about what happened in certain meetings. Not that there should be anything suspicious about that, but maybe when they're lying to you all the time, one, you shouldn't accept the latest lie, and two, you should be a little suspicious that there is something going on that is leading them to lie. We know that laws were broken, both by Russia and in the United States. We know that U.S. laws have been broken, and it seems likely that several people involved, and the number of people involved who may receive prison sentences, seems to keep going up and up and up. Do we know that there was collusion? This is, I guess, the big last sticking point, and what collusion is. Well, we know that there was collusion, at least of some sort. While all this was going on, it puts into new context the fact that Donald J. Trump stood up in front of a microphone and asked Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails. And then people involved in the Trump campaign promised that they were going to have exciting new revelations very shortly, right around the time that WikiLeaks was releasing information or meetings were being held with Russians promising to disclose important information. Did people in the Trump campaign actively push Russia to do this? They certainly didn't seem to put the brakes on. Did it rise to the level of Donald Trump? Maybe his son didn't tell him. It seems unlikely his son did tell him. And maybe more importantly, what was promised in return for this election help that the Trump administration or the Trump campaign was getting? Do we think that Russia was doing this out of the goodness of their hearts? They clearly weren't doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. Now, to be fair, there is an explanation that says Russia is probably savvy enough, Putin is probably savvy enough to know that electing a fucking clown like Donald J. Trump would harm America tremendously and our interests worldwide, and that alone helps Russia. So it's at least plausible that they were doing this without any quid pro quo is the relevant term. And that's the legal term. If they did this with winks and nods, they might get away with a lot of this. But if there was ever any point where somebody said, you do this and we'll do this, then lots of people are going to prison. And depending on how high it goes, this could be the end of the Trump administration. Just remarkable stuff, this point, from what we're dealing with. So, of course, Republicans, Fox News, the Trump administration, how do they respond to this? Oh, come on, let's move on. It's time to move on. We're sick of this Russia stuff. Because after all, you normally stop an investigation early because you've already decided what the conclusion should be. Why is it so important that we follow this? Is there a certain glee, perhaps? I'm not sure that that's the right word. I can't say I feel bad for the Trump administration, and I can't say I don't want to see them gone. But why this is really so important that this investigation be concluded efficaciously and thoroughly, is what Sally Yates, the former deputy attorney general, had testified a few weeks ago. And suddenly her testimony becomes even more relevant than it was at the time. Remember that the Justice Department had reason to believe that the Trump campaign and the Trump administration could be subject to blackmail. Not just because of Russian prostitutes with a propensity to urinate during the sexual act, but actually that the Russian government knew, as the American people did not, and maybe the American government did not, that the Trump administration, that people close to Trump were all lying about their contacts with Russia. This opens them up to blackmail. It is important to note, by the way, the innocent response from the Trump people, from Junior, was, well, she didn't give us any real information of the kind that we were all there to get. She just wanted to talk about Russian adoptions and the law that, or the Russian policy that prevented adoptions by U.S. families of Russian babies, something that we wanted to see in. Well, it turns out that the rush for Russia, the whole adoption issue, was a response to sanctions against Russia for their foul play around the world. And so when they say we want to talk about adoption, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we want to talk about sanctions. What laws do we know have been broken so far? Well, we know we have the filing, the filing of false documents. Oh, yes, it was just a mistake, but as we indicated earlier, that excuse is getting harder and harder to buy. You don't forget about meetings like this. Perjury in official statements, having lied about contacts with Russia. It appears pretty obvious that campaign finance laws have been broken. This is now Jared Kushner's territory. And Trump Jr.'s territory, soliciting contributions from foreign agents, foreign people, is illegal under campaign finance laws. If we ever choose to actually enforce our campaign finance laws, there could be trouble there. Trouble not so much along the lines of Jared Kushner facing possibly 5 years for filing his document requesting a security clearance. That's right, so that Jared Kushner can be told America's deepest, darkest secrets regarding perhaps Russia. He filled out documents to get a security clearance, and he lied about his Russia contacts so he can get a security clearance. Again, unless he innocently forgot about this meeting. We have collusion and conspiracy, which they're presumably still building, and possibly, although the legal definition is very narrow, for most Americans, people who want to see this country run properly for America, you know, America firsters, we start talking about treason. So the Trump response is red herring. Let's talk about Hillary. Let's change the subject. This has gone on too long. Let's move on. Well, clearly, let's not move on. At this point, that's not going to work. The news before that on Russia, which has been eclipsed by the latest stuff, was Trump meeting with Putin. And Trump basically accepting Putin's word over that of every single U.S. intelligence agency. Putin assured Donald Trump that the Russian government did not meddle in the election. Again, this is according to Donald Trump. The meeting between Trump and Putin was private. So at this point, all we have to know what went on in that meeting was the word of Donald J. Trump or Vladimir Putin, which means we know absolutely nothing because they're both going to make up whatever the hell they want to make up. Trump came out and said that they discussed a plan to work with the Russians on cybersecurity. That's right. The time when we are investigating Russia's hacking of the U.S. election, Donald J. Trump says we're going to work with the Russians on cybersecurity. Oh, wait, that was in the morning. A few hours later, he said, there's no plan. No, we're not going to do that. Or maybe we are, or we're not, or whatever I pull out of my ass this afternoon, because I have no fucking idea what the hell I am doing. So Donald Trump accepts the word of Vladimir Putin, a hostile foreign rival, who has clearly lied, over every single U.S. intelligence agency that has made the connection between Donald J. Trump's campaign and Russia, and Russia's efforts to meddle in the election. I realize that I'm one-sided, but seriously, If this were the other way around, we now have the deepest, darkest, reddest Americans saying, oh, this is okay, I still like Donald Trump, none of this matters. Could you imagine if a Democratic president had said, I don't believe any of our intelligence agencies, I don't believe the FBI, I don't believe the Justice Department, I don't believe any of our intelligence agencies. Instead, I believe Russia. They wouldn't be allowing the Democratic president out of the White House because the threat to their life would be so great that the Secret Service wouldn't even allow them out. Come on, Trump supporters, you who love America more than we liberals who hate America. Where are you going with this one? How do you square this circle? Lindsey Graham finally came out a little bit and said, well, what Trump's doing here as far as the intelligence services is not good for anybody. This is not helpful. John McCain perhaps had the best line when told about Trump's plan to work with the Russians on cybersecurity. I am sure that Vladimir Putin could be of enormous assistance in that effort, since he's doing the hacking, said John McCain. Okay, real quick summation of a couple other big things in news. Trump went to Europe. Everybody was afraid of what he might do. He seems to have gotten through it unscathed. But it was important that 19 of the 20 nations there basically said, fuck you, America. And they publicly said that they will be moving forward on the Paris Climate Change Agreement despite the United States. Donald Trump gave a speech in Warsaw. It was written by his campaign people. It was designed to get lots of cheers among the people in Poland. A couple of things. It was nice. He talked about how Poland was victimized and its Jewish population was victimized by the Nazis and by the Russians in World War II. I have a bit of a problem with the fact that he gave the Polish people a complete pass on their role in the Holocaust and anti-Semitism. But that's okay. He got lots of cheers on that one. So he's our president, so we support him. But more importantly, in his Warsaw speech, and nobody's reported on this, he talked about Poland suffering through tyranny, wars of aggression, extermination, occupation by Nazis, by communists. And then he said, and you're dealing with one more enemy. Bureaucracy and paperwork. And thus, we put the idea of government trying to enforce labor laws, environmental laws, etc., we put that in the category of Nazism and Stalinist Russia. Again, I'm glad he did it and not a liberal, because the guns would be out in force. Real quickly, last comment. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has proposed a rule to prohibit forced arbitration by financial firms. This is one I don't want to leave out. It's particularly close to my heart. You have heard me, regular listeners have heard me say several times how important it is to get mandatory arbitration clauses out of the contracts that we sign routinely now, usually without knowing it. And that prevent us from going to court when we've been harmed. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, actually trying to promote the interests of Americans, has said that we're not going to allow financial firms to force their customers into arbitration if they engage in illegal conduct against those customers. The rules, by the way, say that the financial firms, as we've discussed before, get to pick the arbitrator. So you know that's going to be fair. In other words, Americans get to have their day in court. Leading Jeb Hensarling, a Texas Republican congressman, to say, and I need to quote this, in the last election, the American people voted to drain the D.C. swamp of capricious, unaccountable bureaucrats who wish to control their lives. I guess they have exit polls showing that people voted for Donald Trump because they were afraid that if their financial firms ripped them off, they might be able to actually sue them. I guess that's why they voted. Let's look at this pathetic piece of shit and what he said. In the last election, the American people voted to drain the DC swamp. Okay, again, let's be clear. Anytime you hear the argument about a mandate from the people, you have to keep in mind that he lost the vote. Yes, I understand because of peculiarities in our election system and this ridiculously archaic electoral college. Trump was legitimately elected. But he lost the vote. If you were going to have the American people voted, they voted for Hillary Clinton. To drain the DC swamp of capricious, with all due respect, look up capricious in your dictionary. And if it doesn't have a picture of Donald J. Trump next to it, you're using an old dictionary and you need to update it. Unaccountable bureaucrats who wish to control their lives know what the American people want is financial firms ripping them off with complete impunity and them not being able to go to court to do anything about it. I was reminded, once again, we started with Jared Kushner. We'll close a little bit with Jared Kushner about the importance of the rule of law. We'll talk about specific examples. Someone I know very well moved from an apartment that he had been renting and moved to a different state. I don't think there's any question, having seen a lot of correspondence go back and forth, that the company, that is the landlord, knew that he had moved to a different state, far, far away. And therefore, rather than return the security deposit, they made up all kinds of bullshit about why he owes them a lot of money. It's ridiculous. It's blatant bullshit. Some of the things on the list are almost comical for what they say he owes money for. Why would they do this? Because they know he can't assert his legal rights. He moved to a different state. State, what are you going to do? Come back just to sue for $2,000? So they basically know that they have a gun against your head and they could manipulate and extort and hurt people who don't have the rule of law to protect them. And that, of course, reminded me of Jared Kushner, the princeling, and why it's so important you need to understand that the way this guy made money was to enforce bullshit policies and not even enforce policies as they existed against people who he knew did not have the wherewithal to have a lawyer to represent them. If this country ever votes for anything in the future, it should vote for the rule of law. Okay, that's it for today. We'll come back at you next week with more on Trump's accomplishments, so to speak, so far. Anyway, like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see this video and video from every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss us on Podbean if you like to listen on the go. If you like what you heard, like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Keep the questions coming. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.